We're going to continue. This is part two of the series we began last week, Lost and Found. And remember, last week we focused in on God lost something and He desperately wants it back. He wants it back. And today I want to talk to you about how God views you and I as His sons and daughters, as His children. And this is the way that God looks at you now that you're born again. How many born again? You love Jesus. You're an identified Christ follower. Okay, we got one, two, three. First service I said that. Everybody's hand went up. Hallelujah. So I'm just double dog daring you to stand up for Jesus. Come on now. The world's doing it. The world's double dog daring you. And so many Christians are failing the test. Come on, the heat's on, folks. It's the Jesus is turning up the heat. But this is the way that He sees you, and you need to start looking at yourself as this. God sees you as a priest. I'm not talking about the guys or the gals with the collars. Nothing wrong with that. It's just apparel. But I'm talking about a kingdom priest. That's the way Jesus sees you. You might ask, what? How can I be a priest? I'm a Christ follower. No, Jesus sees you as a priest. Hallelujah. Everybody here has heard, anybody here not heard of the Ten Commandments? Anybody? Okay. Everybody's heard about the Ten Commandments. Everybody's heard about it. And in fact, modern society, based our convictions on the Ten Commandments. Many of our laws were enacted because of the Ten Commandments. Yet today, in the United States of America, we're trying to cut those laws out. It's just insanity, right? And so our culture's trying to get the Ten Commandments out. We've seen lawsuits and legal battles all over the country for places of judicial places that have the Ten Commandments that were posted there, built many, many years ago. And even our people in our government, the people that swore an oath to God to lead our government, are taking them down, taking it out. But if you were to ask anybody, you'd probably get all sorts of different answers as to what the Ten Commandments consist of. Some might say it shows us how to live. Some may say it shows us the difference between right and wrong. Some might say it shows us the way to God, and those are all true. But the real reason that God gave us the Ten Commandments was to make for Himself a nation of priests God might use to save the world with. So in Exodus chapter 20, God gives us the Ten Commandments, but in Exodus chapter 19, God shows us why He gave us the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out to the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. We talked about that this past, we had a great speaker, remember Gregor? Great speaker this past Monday night, young man, and he talked about the children of Israel decided to camp out. In other words, they decided to stay, Exodus 19:1. They decided to camp out. They decided to stay in the wilderness. For they had departed from Rephidim, and they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him to the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Check it out. God's doing that today. When you and I got saved, it was as though eagle's wings came and lifted you him, brought you to himself. God's doing that today. And he's telling the children, remember I did this for you guys? Do you remember this? Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me, here it is, underlined it, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So down through the centuries, we know that God lost something and he wants it back, right? But man's tendency is always to stray and to shy away from the love of God because they bought into a lie. I bought into a lie for 21 years that God didn't love me, that I wasn't worthy to receive his son. Until one day, hallelujah, the light was turned on. And I shared with you last week that we, you and I, have a choice in the matter. And God promised that he would never, ever remove the power of choice from man. Man has a power to choose to follow him or not, to do right or to do wrong. Man does. We're not robots. God's given us the power to choose. God's given us, I said last week, the power to choose and accept and embrace his love for you, his love for us. He's given you a choice. We have a choice today to stop hiding. Remember last week? We said, we're not going to hide anymore. We're not going to. Every time the devil brings something up about your past and you're born again, Jesus, so many Christians decide to keep on hiding from God. Now, I'm going to just say it like it is. You've developed in your mind a false humility that God doesn't appreciate. After sending his son to that cross to die for you, and you keep bringing up your past, you're saying to God, God, what Jesus did on the cross for me isn't good enough. You could never love me. I'm so unworthy. And so many Christians walk around with this pain in their life. I know it firsthand. I watched my mother torture herself for 20, 25 years after becoming a Christian. She would always say, it got so bad I just couldn't stand being around it. Because I'd think, Mom, stop it already. God's forgiven you. I don't know. You don't know what I've done. And it wasn't until, and John and Sam Crank were right in the room there, when my mom was laying on her deathbed 3 days before she died, the Holy Spirit came into the room. And he demonstrated his great love and forgiveness once again to my mother. And her eyes, for the first time, were truly open. And she was so at peace. But so many Christians decide to carry the burden of past, present, and future sins on their life when Jesus said, man, I've lifted that off you. Why do you keep taking it back? We bought into a lie. And so what we do, continue to hide. And because we continue to hide, we don't feel God could ever use me. So therefore, I'm just going to at least play the part of a Christian and go to church. Whoa. And just go to church and be there and then do my 45 minutes and then I feel good about myself for about 10 minutes. And then I allow the devil back into my life and there I go hiding. Is this speaking to anybody today? It's speaking to me. We do. So we have a choice, and I said I gave you two choices last week. One, choose to accept God's love, his forgiveness, his acceptance, and just embrace it and walk in it. That you're a son, you're his daughter, you're a priest. And number two, to join the rescue team. Remember? I feel good right now, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. Remember, we're called to be PJs for Jesus. What's PJ? Special ops teams that dives from 25,000 feet behind enemy lines to rescue down pilots, down air. And their motto is, so that others may live. So we become para-jumpers for Jesus. We jump in on the scene where we're needed. Amen. Where can God use me? I choose to be a part of that team. How about you? I said, how about you? But here's the reality. Some won't. Some won't. You want to hear real reality? Being real with you. Most won't. Most Christians, thank you, Chris. Most Christians won't be a part of that team. They choose to continue. Listen, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you always had. And so Christians choose many times. I know because I used to be one of them. Not anymore. But we choose to live this boring, funky, worldly, carnal Christian life where there's no power, no presence of God, and we continue to run in circles just like the children of Israel, and we wear trenches around the same mountain over and over and over and over again. 5 years go by, 10 years go by, 20 years go by, 25 years go by, and we finally realize, wait a minute, I don't need to be running around this mountain anymore. One day I decided, I'm done with this. And guess what? Be real with you, I got to do it every day. I'm telling the devil, talk to the hand, devil, Not going down that road. Not going down there, man. I was bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go back into the pit where Psalm 40 talks about where Jesus reached down into that pit, plucked me out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and gave me purpose for my life. Why would I choose to go back into that pit? But we do every day. And you know, the Holy Spirit, our God is so loving. He understands that. But all the while, his still small voice is saying, come on out. It's okay. I know you've blown it. Just repent. Just repent. Just ask me to forgive you. And I'll set your feet back on the rock. Amen. So in the Old Testament, God desired to use this one particular group of people. Because God's plan has always been to use people to reach people. Did you get that? It's a powerful truth. God's plan has always been to use people to reach people. The disciples, they were the B team, right? They weren't the world's first choice. These guys were thugs. They were thieves. They were the not good enoughs. Even the religious crowd would say, look at Jesus, he's eating with sinners. How dare him, right? But Jesus looked at every one of them and said, buddy, you're worth it. Come on with me. That's what I love about Jesus. He looks beyond and he sees the potential. So God is always his desire. In fact, over in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, he was calling out a people, a special people to himself. Genesis 12, 1 says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I'll bless you, and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right from the beginning, God chose a people, a special people, to reach the rest of the world. And he chooses to reveal his true character and nature and his plan of salvation through this chosen nation. Why? By making this nation, who were not perfect, but a people who would reveal God's character and nature by their conduct. Everybody say conduct. in giving the children of Israel the laws, the Ten Commandments, he was seeking to set apart a nation of priests. Paul confirms that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. He said that we are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Once we become born again, we're now part of that family, part of that holy nation, a nation of priests. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 23, that once we receive Christ, check it out, we're grafted into the family of God. We're grafted in. Anybody ever seen a skin graft before? You know, when the doctors perform that surgery and they pull skin from your feet and they put it on your cheek. Now you got a foot in the mouth. Amen, right? And so they put it on there, and all of a sudden after the healing process, bam, you can't even tell. What? That was skin was grafted in. That's what happens when you and I receive Christ. We're grafted in to the kingdom. Someone say amen. So, if we're grafted in, we got to ask the question, what do priests do then? Here it is. Priests mediate. They become mediators between two parties who are at conflict with one another. They're meant to bring peace to the situation, to bring healing to the situation. They're there to resolve conflicts, right? Remember we said that conflict is used to bring healing, restoration, and reconciliation. A priest is a mediator, check it out, between God and man. Exactly what Jesus did at the cross at Calvary. He was the great high priest. Hebrews 4:14 says that Jesus, our high priest, great high priest, Jesus was on the cross reconciling man to God. 1 John 2:1 says that Jesus is our advocate. He's the go-between. He's the lawyer that pleads our case. When we say, Lord, forgive us, then Jesus stands in our place. He's like any favorite, Perry Mason's the only thing that comes to mind, you know. But who's the other? Matlock, right? Hey, pleading the case before the judge. Father, God, Mark's not guilty anymore. He's not guilty of his past, present, and future sins. He's received me as his Lord. He's now a priest here. And the Father says, come on in. Someone say, God's good. And so Jesus was that bridge. And God here in the Old Testament wanted his children to be a holy nation, a people that was set apart to demonstrate God's love, God's goodness to a broken and busted world. These priests were to be representatives of heaven. They were to be set apart from the pagan nations. Why? Because of the radical, crazy, insane things that these pagan nations did. We see it today in our own world. See, what happens, it's like a frog set in a pot of cold water. And you turn on the heat. And you slowly goes to boil. That frog doesn't know what's going on until it's too late. And that's, I believe, in part, what has happened to the church today. Jesus is turning up the heat. Will we be spiritual enough to say, man, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this place. Get me out of here, Lord. The heat's turned up. And the heat I'm talking about is the ways of the world right now. This HR1 is one example. One big example. The heat's being... There are churches that are buying into this, by the way. It's just like these pagan nations who did detestable things to their own people. They would offer up children. They would sacrifice children before these foreign gods. We have that today. It's called abortion. And many other sins against children. Jesus said, better to have a millstone hung around your neck than mess with one of my kids. See, we have a policy here. You mess with a child, we help you go to prison. We'll come pray for you in prison. They did detestable things. They had sex orgies, drunken orgies, men having sex with men, women having sex with women. If that wasn't bad enough, they would have sex with animals. You read it. It's all over the Old Testament, right? And all the time, God was like, come on, guys, stop this. This is insane. Don't you understand what you're doing? Are you being a blessing to your family? You're destroying your families. You're destroying people's lives. Jill and I unfortunately saw this firsthand. It was our first assignment in ministry. It was a great do. Welcome to ministry. As we saw young people being abused in our church. And nobody was willing to do anything about it. Till someone stood up and said, hey, enough's enough. But see, we see that today in our world. But God's great love continued to reach out to them. Why? Because he called out a special people to be priests, to be a holy nation, set apart. That's why it's so devastating, my friends, when we see that in our world today, especially in the church. God help these preachers who don't repent, who've done unspeakable things to children. We thank God, and we can just continue doing ministry. Oh, friends, it gets me upset. It took me years to stop crying about this stuff. Physically crying about it. But God called a people to be set apart. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so this priesthood of the Old Testament was short-circuited by sin. People could no longer trust them. Sound familiar? But guess what? God's doing something new. Someone say amen. God, down through the years, tried to use prophets to instruct and correct his children through the Old Testament, calling his people back to himself over and over and over again, warning them of the consequences that were to come because of their rebellious ways. I want you to check this out. The Old Testament could rightly be called the story of the nation of priests because God records how his children continually strayed from the truth and his laws, and how God had to raise up rods of correction in the form of discipline, bringing foreign invaders. Oh my gosh, we're seeing this today. Bringing foreign invaders so as to call the nation of his priests back to himself, back to their obligation when they said yes to God, of being ambassadors, of being representatives. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, that we are. Everybody say, I am. Let's make it more personal. Take your finger, point to yourself. Say, I am an ambassador for Christ. I represent God's kingdom. But we all know it's so easy for us, like this, to stray from the truth. It can happen so quickly. Just as Israel was called to be a nation of priests, ambassadors, and representatives, he's calling us too, right now, to be a nation of priests, to be ambassadors and representatives for the kingdom of God. Back over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul writes, beginning at verse 18, Paul said, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, verse 18, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Once you said yes to Jesus, hallelujah, Donnie, Jesus now gives you assignment. You're a priest, brother. Got you on a mission now. You're on a Christian now. Your first and foremost call is to be an ambassador, a priest, a representative of the kingdom. But he doesn't stop there. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So therefore, we don't go around looking down our nose at people. Yes, we can't stand the stuff going on in our world, but guess what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. Galatians 6, 1 through 3. Brethren, if a man, woman is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore. That's what a priest does. He restores one. Now, if people don't want to be restored, I learned a long time ago, quit chasing people that don't want to be caught. Dude, you want to continue going back to your vomit? Go for it. How's that working out for you? You want to continue that? I'll let you go. You learned last week, that's one of the things that Jesus did. His love lets people go. He'll let you do your thing. Now, how could God do that? Because he's a loving Father, and he never forces himself on anybody. Verse 20, now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. There it is. There it is. Be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How's that work? I got to tell the story again. It's no story. But Colonel Siebert, German, very, very strong, big guy, big combat veteran man. I'd always talk about Jesus, and he'd always shake his head at me. But I didn't care. He goes, Sergeant George, I don't want to hear that. And I said, well, I know, sir, but God is good anyway. Amen. I would, couldn't stop me. God, and he loves you anyway, sir. You know, I'd say stuff like that to him just to get at him. You know, I was like, listen, who? I know the devil's good. So, but I had this special love for this guy. I really respect him because, man, this guy, military, he is like a chest full of medals, man. Vietnam, special forces, all. So this guy was awesome. So I just decided last year to look him up online. I figured he probably passed on because he was much older than I was. And I found him. But I found his obituary. Colonel Gunter Siebert. Military career. Lover of Jesus. Lover of Jesus. Sir, him and his wife started a ministry helping the homeless. I don't know if God, but somehow, some way, there was a speck in time that God used me just to speak into his life. Why? Because I'm a priest. I see myself as a priest. Not some holier than thou, stuffy, you know, religious. But just real down the earth, man, I'm broken too. But I have a Jesus inside me that's putting the pieces back together. Someone say amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll beat you to it. Amen, get there. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at Peter said, verse 9. But you who are, you are a chosen generation, look at this, royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. God's talking about you. Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Who were once not a people. You and I didn't belong to him before we said yes. And now, because you did say yes, now you're the people of God who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained all sorts of mercy. Hallelujah. That's why you got to stop it right now. Stop it. This false humility of, oh, I'm not worthy. Stop it. In the name of Jesus, you are worthy. Amen. Jesus gave his all so you could live all for him. Amen. And he said he called you out. You obtained mercy now. Beloved, verse 11, 1 Peter 2, I beg you as foreigners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. Having your, here it is, conduct. Not your words, he's talking conduct now. They got to line up. Having your conduct honorable before the heathens, the Gentiles, that when they speak evil against you, hey, those words are coming right now. And not just because you love Pepe Le Pew. The world says you're evil now. But now they're lumping it in, not just Pepe Le Pew, and not just Speedy Gonzalez. Those cartoons, man. I mean, they're hilarious. Oh, my darling. Pepe Le Pew. It's hilarious. But because I love Jesus, I'm an evildoer. I'm an evildoer. You're an evildoer. That's what the world is. But it doesn't stop there. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may have, by your conduct, by your good works, observe glorifying God in the day of visitation. We, the children of God today, are the royal priesthood, the holy nation. We're supposed to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why? So that those who are outside of God's family can be drawn in to His loving arms by what they hear and observe in our lives. That's why, my friends, it so breaks the Father's heart when His priests go sideways. It so breaks His heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Or in my Bible, I wrote, I am. That's not being arrogant. That's not. But this is who God says, Jesus Himself. Jesus said, you are, I am, the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Then it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are, I am. Someone say, I am. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, do they light a lamp and put it under a basket? Stand. They put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see it. See it. Observation. They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus is revealing some very critical points for us to follow in terms of being a priest, in terms of being an ambassador. We're to let our light shine. We're to let our light shine. But sometimes, my friends, just like the Old Testament saints, we surrender our light. We surrender it. And I'm going to give you quickly 6 ways that we surrender our light. Get ready to write. Number 1. This is critical. We surrender our light. We surrender our priesthood when we are quiet when we should speak up. We're quiet when we should speak up. For the last year plus, the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, has used COVID-19 to silence the church. That's just one thing. Now you got the government coming behind that, adding to another layer with this whole Equality Act, Equity Act, whatever they call it. It's all meant for you to shut your mouth. Keep your Jesus to yourself. When God said, wait a minute, you're the salt of the earth, light of the world, you're a holy nation, you're a priest. That's your calling. That's your assignment in life. But we blow it off when we're quiet, when we should speak up. He said in Romans 10, 14 and 15, he said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? I want to tell you this morning, I heard this many years ago, get a big mouth for God. Get a big mouth for God. As a priest, God has sent out to our world to speak up. We need to be saying no to abortion. We need to say, listen, we love the homosexuals, the lesbians, the transgenders. I love them. Nothing's going to change. But I don't approve, according to Scripture, and just according to science, of their lifestyle. It doesn't work. I don't know one child that's been blessed by those kinds of relationships. In fact, I have several guys who are professional Christian counselors, I could name them right now, whose their focus in ministry is on helping restore these people's lives, and all of them, 98% of them, have been abused as children. The second way we surrender our priesthood is when we go along with the crowd. We go along with the crowd. Hey, our country's saying everything's okay now. Just for a second, it's just I had one of my grandsons over the other day, and I said, Jackson, I like playing the games solitaire and Yahtzee. That's me. That's all I'm able to do. I said, but I'm getting bored with those. He said, well, Grandpa, I know you like cannons and stuff. How about a cannon game? I said, okay, great. So I got this cannon game on there, and we're just blowing up buildings. It's so cool, right? That's just seeing all the bricks go all over. No people involved, okay? But good, clean fun, right? But then you take what's going on in our country today. Just think about this. Think about this. It's okay to have Grand Theft Auto murdering, raping, disemboweling people online all the time, but you can't watch Pepe Le Pew. Come on, think about it. Out says Grand Theft Auto and all these other unbelievable demonic games are okay to play. They're okay. Let us just keep poisoning the minds of our young people. And I won't even say young people anymore. The average video game player is 34 years old. Sitting at home in mom's basement playing video games. Right? It's all about demonic garbage. But Pepe Le Pew and Speedy Gonzalez, they're evil. That's the world we live in today, folks. And Jesus has called us to be priests. A special people. He called us to come out of darkness. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and 7, he said, be not unequally yoked with the unbelieving world. It's okay to be a light to them, but when you participate, you just surrendered your priesthood. I'm not saying that. Scripture's saying it. The Word of God. So we surrender when we go along with the crowd. Jesus has a lot to say about crowds. Matthew 7, 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many, that's the majority, many go thereby. God puts before us what crowd we're going to choose to follow. That's it. You can follow the light crowd or you can follow the dark crowd. Your choice. But understand this. You will eat the consequences of the choices you make. You will eat them. Not if, it's when. I'm just saying. It's the Word of God. Number three, we surrender our priesthood when we, here it is, when we deny the light. We deny Him. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, I'm going to paraphrase it. He said this, just like this. He goes, you Mark, you deny me before men, I deny you before the Father. There's the connection right there. Deny me before men, I deny you before the Father. So Jesus, come on, let's get real. And this is why I believe the Holy Spirit's in the world today. There's no wiggle room anymore for secret followers. No wiggle room. You're accountable for what you hear. I'm accountable for what I hear. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do I blow it? Yes, I do. Do I surrender my priesthood? Sometimes. But when I do, I run back to the Father, and the Father puts me back in his graces, being that priest. But I'm continuing. It's a work, my friends. Who said this was easy? Whoever said it was easy sold you a bill of goods, man. I'm telling you that. No wiggle room for secret followers. Number four, we surrender our priesthood when we allow sin to darken our light. It's real simple, friends. Sin comes into our life. Oh boy. Lord, I'm sorry. Jesus simply said, turn the light back on, Mark. Repent. It's that simple. But Lord, you don't know what I've done. I do know. That's why my son went to the cross. If you want to leave the lights out, that's your choice. Keep walking in that. But Jesus said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did a deep Hebrew-Greek study of the word all, and it means all. It's all. It's all. I love what Bob Sorge said. He said this, become a good repenter. It's the doorway to revival. You want personal revival? Become a good repenter. Sometimes, let me say this. Some of you might feel that you're not making any progress because you're repenting 200 times a day. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. If you didn't care, you'd just continue to do your thing. Now, then you're deceived and you're in big trouble. So we surrender our priesthood when we allow sin to dim our light. Number five, we surrender our priesthood by not explaining the light to others. Tell your story. It's real simple. You remember a few weeks ago I shared, my friend called me, I haven't seen him in 4 or 5 years from high school, out of the blue, Mark! Drunk as a skunk. What happened to you? What are you talking about? He goes, we used to party all the time. What happened to you? I had a chance to explain my light. Jesus is so good. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you're so good. Number six, lastly, we surrender our priesthood. This is so important. By ignoring the needs of others. Ignoring the needs of others. Jesus explains this in the story with the young rich ruler in Matthew 19. I'll paraphrase it. He says, you want to be perfect, buddy? Sell all you have, give to the poor, come follow me. And I'll make you really rich. Not in this earthly sense, but I'll give you so much of what God has, you won't be able to contain it. God was wanting to help this young man. And this is where I believe America is right now. We say we got so much, we don't need anything. Oh, we have no need because the government's giving us everything. And what a deception that is. Because guess who's going to pay for that? They don't tell you that. But oh, see, I want to jump in and follow that crowd. And there it is. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many go by it. When we ignore the needs of others, we give up our priesthood. And the fact is, my friends, God has lost something and He wants it back. And He always uses people to go on the hunt, to be a part of what His whole heart is, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You and I will never reach perfection, but I got to say it to you. And this is where I was, this is where Jill and I were for several years. We were going around the mountain over and over, selfish. I did this, I did that, you did this, you did that. Selfish, just selfish beings with one another. Trying to one-up each other. And it wasn't until we were at the edge of divorce. God will use whatever means necessary to get your attention. And we were at the edge right there. Because I was... In part, and this is human nature, we reproduce what we were raised with. So because I was raised in a very violent and angry home, that's the way I was. Never physically or sexually violent like that, but I had a temper, boy. And what made matters worse is when I became a drill sergeant. That made it real worse. It's like, ah! I, in fact, enjoyed screaming at people. I was like, what is up with you, man? So I tried that at home. It didn't work. Jill says, you better back that down, drill sergeant. You ain't bringing that in this house. But here's the dealio. Here's the dealio. I realized I needed help. And I couldn't do it on my own. So I had to find somebody. And that somebody was Dr. Doug Routledge, a counselor that I spent 7 years with, helping me process this whole thing. Why? So that I could be that priest that God's called to be. First and foremost in my home. Was I perfect at it? No. I blow it all the time. We do. Okay? Human nature. But God, I keep turning the light back on. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jill, I'm sorry. You know, Frank, I'm sorry. Frank and Nancy, they visit our house quite a bit. Frank and Nancy's diner. No, it's another story. So, but I want to pray with you today. Listen, God's doing something, man. And listen, this is not... Some of you are here today, there's stuff you need to get out of your life and get it out today. I had to go back to my phone and I looked at it and went, that needs to go again. That needs to go. I thought I could peek at the news a little bit. Nah. Gets my flesh all in a rile. Gotta go. Some of you got games on your phone you need to get rid of. It's poisoning your mind. It's poisoning your mind. You're spending more time, and this is where we are today, spend more time on the phone than we are on the Word of God. I'm speaking to myself. Glancing at this, going at that. No. Why? Simply, we're called as priests. Lord, thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in and through our lives. Lord, I pray that you continue to draw us, to woo us closer to you. For Lord, your return is imminent. It's soon. We don't have to be concerned about the day, the hour, the time, the month, year, but all the signs are there. You've called us to be your sons and daughters. But most of all, you've called us to be priests in a nation that you planted us in that desperately needs the light of Jesus. So I ask, Father, to help us. How many say, Pastor Mark, I need help of the Holy Spirit to help me be that priest. Amen. Lord, you've located us today. God, help us to be the men and women you've called us to be. Thank you for it. God, use us out in the fields this week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.